capabilities. You knew that they were going to use that, and that's great. But I felt it was going to be at the expense of giving up those other kinds of films, so that's what led to Sundance. I thought, well, what if we can start a development process where young artists can have a voice, but we can help them develop their skills so they can at least get their films made. That was the lab that started in 1980. Then, once that happened and we started a development process at Sundance, suddenly realized that we were helping them develop their skills so they could get their films made, but there was nowhere to go because the mainstream had not allowed any space for them. And that led to the idea of a festival. So originally it was just an idea that maybe we can have a community of filmmakers coming together and share each other's work. And maybe if we're lucky, somebody will come. Somebody else will come.
The Oscar-winning director, actor, and activist Robert Redford, speaking on Democracy Now! In one of a number of interviews we did with him at the Sundance Film Festival in Park City, Utah. That interview in 2015. He died on Tuesday at the age of 89 at his home in Utah. The Sundance Film Festival will be moving after this next year from Park City to Boulder. Robert Redford served for 5 decades as a trustee of the Natural Resources Defense Council. Manish Bapna, president and CEO at NRDC, said, quote, "The environmental movement has lost a giant. Nobody has done more to shine a light on the most important environmental issues from the dawn of the environmental movement in the 1970s through the biodiversity and climate crises of today." Again, Robert Redford, dead at the age of 89, but his legacy continues. You can go to democracynow.org for all of our interviews. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez.
Hi, I'm David Brower, David R. Brower, and I add the R because there are 100 other David Browers in the United States, and that keeps me separate from most of them. I like the direction you're going in. KBOO, Portland. And I wish you had a lot more company.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. The Finance Committee meets on the third Thursday of the month at 5:30 p.m. This month's meeting will be held online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting can be found at our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
KBOO is loud and proud. Become a member during our KBOO Out Loud Fall Membership Drive, taking place now through September 20th. Your contribution goes towards grassroots, independent, radically made community radio. Donate now by going to kboo.fm/give and help us reach our $45,000 goal. Thank you.
Support for KBOO comes from its members and from 988 Oregon, a public service helping those who are feeling sad, struggling with alcohol or drug use, or just need someone to talk to. Trained counselors are able to listen and provide support 24/7. Confidential support available by text or phone call to 988. More info at 988oregon.org.
You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. The time is 8:03 a.m. Next up is PDX Progressive Talk Radio.
Don't you know? Talking about a revolution that sounds like a whisper. Don't you know? Talking about a revolution that sounds like a whisper. While they're standing in the welfare lines, crying at the doorsteps of those armies of salvation,
wasting time in the unemployed lines, sitting around waiting for a promotion. Don't you know they're talking about a revolution? It sounds like a whisper. Poor people gonna rise up and get their share. Poor people gonna rise up and take what's theirs. Don't you know you better run, 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 run. Oh, I said you better run, 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 run. Cause finally the tables are starting to turn, talking about a revolution. Yes, finally the tables are starting to turn, talking about a revolution. Oh, oh no, talking about a revolution. Oh, oh, while they're standing in the welfare lines, crying at the doorsteps of those armies of salvation, wasting time in the unemployment lines, sitting around waiting for a promotion. Don't you know they're talking about a revolution? It sounds are starting to turn, talking about a revolution. Yes, finally the tables are starting to turn, talking about a revolution. Oh, oh no, talking about a revolution. Oh, oh no, talking about a revolution. Oh, oh no.
Good morning, Portland and beyond. That was Tracy Chapman. And I chose that one because it was a live version of Revolution. And I saw her in concert at Bumper Shoot. And it must have been 2004. No, it was later than that. It was like 2006, 2007. Fabulous, fabulous show. If you ever get a chance to see Tracy Chapman live, please do it. She's an excellent artist. So anyways, let's get back to business. Thank you for including PDX Progressive Talk Radio in your morning routine today. If you're listening live, it's September 17th, about 8:05 a.m., 8:06. And we are so happy to bring you the information you can only hear here on KBOO Community Radio at 90.7 FM in Portland and KBOO.FM everywhere. And we do have an app, and I have been so enjoying the KBOO app. You just go into your little app store on your phone and on your PC and download that app on to whatever device you're using, your tablet, and you can hear everything. We have on demand, we have live streaming, we have access to the donate button, which I'm going to talk about here in a minute. And it's fabulous. I love the app. I've listened to it quite often this week. I wanted to dive into it because there for a while over the past few years, it was a little clunky, but it's really good now. It's up and running, and I love it. So today I have no guests because I have a few things to address. But first, I want to tell you that we are in our fall membership drive, and we are working to raise $45,000, and I'll be talking about that a little while down the road here. But I did want to thank a few people who have given over the past few hours. We are so close to our goal. We can't do this without you. And I was saying that we get 30% of our funding from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. I was incorrect. We get closer to 6 to 11% of our funding from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and that equates to about $110,000 that we relied on for 2026. So it's significant, and we are trying to raise $45,000 in this drive, and we are, again, very close. So I want to thank Jim, Robert, Scotty, Anonymous, Patrick, Elizabeth, Christopher, and another Anonymous, and those are the ones I can see who have given with just within the past 14 hours. Thank you, guys. You can sign up to be a member of KBOO in many different ways. You can go onto the app after you install it. If you open it up right there in the top right-hand corner is a little donate button. Go ahead and click on that, and you can see everybody else who has donated already. So that's one way. Another way is through your browser, whether it's Safari, Chrome, Edge, what is that? Firefox. There's also DuckDuckGo apparently has a browser now. Any of them. Go to kboo.fm and click on the donate button there on the right-hand corner of the browser window, right? When you load the KBOO website, the homepage. And if that's just not something you're feeling good about right now, you can always text us. You can text KBOO to 44321. I've been doing this a little while now, and I actually have this stuff memorized. So I was looking for the information, and I couldn't find it, but oh, I have it memorized. So you can text KBOO to 44321. Or if you just don't want to deal with the technology stuff and you have a checkbook, we do take paper. You can send us a check. Just address it KBOO at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland and Oregon. The zip is 97214. So you can send us a check to KBOO 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland, 97214, and that is that business out of the way. We do need your help, honestly. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting has been hit really hard by the current administration, and many of us in the public media sphere are going to, you know, work to enable us to continue bringing you content that you won't get anywhere else. And it's not just KBOO. It's Willamette Falls Media Center. It's Open Signal. It's Metro East. It's CCTV. CCTV, I guess, is sort of funded by the state too. But it's all of the local independent media outlets. Eugene has a public radio station. We have a lot of different media outlets that give you the news, public affairs, youth programming, and music that you won't hear on commercial radio. So I'll get off that wagon for a little while. Today, I want to address the death of Charlie Kirk, of course, because everybody's talking about it. No, you're not getting a break from it here. And there is another subject that came shortly after that. There was a shooting in Colorado, and that did not get the awareness that it deserved. So we do want to pay attention to that. I'll be talking about the school shootings and the continuation of them probably in my next show. But today, we're going to talk about the Charlie Kirk situation and the Fox News gaffe of Brian Kilmeade, which this is significant, even almost as much as school shootings, because this is wrong. And when people in commercial media start speaking like this, it's very dangerous. What he said is simply unacceptable. And I don't care that he, quote unquote, apologized. It was still wrong. And that's something that we as a community in the United States need to stand up and say, I'm sorry, Kilmeade. You apologies are not accepted. That should never have come out of your mouth. So on the national front, the job numbers. Now, I have arguments about this story too, but I'm just going to say it. The job numbers that we thought we had, and it turns out, now understand, Trump fired the person in charge of the jobs reports because the numbers weren't meeting his expectations, right? So all of a sudden, from March last year to, I believe it was March or June this year, the numbers that we thought we had, apparently they weren't real. A major revision shows the U.S. created 911,000 jobs fewer than originally reported over the past year. Isn't that a little suspicious, especially when they do revisions of the job counts after each one comes out? Almost like clockwork, within 3 weeks of the jobs report coming out, there is a revision. It's either up or down. Generally, it's down. And it was really bad during the first Trump administration. It never caught my attention as much as it did then, because they would project that 200,000 jobs were created and then come back and say over 100,000 of them, that it was revised over 100,000 down. So I don't buy this story. Honestly, I have arguments about this. It doesn't seem right. However, as somebody who has been in the job market looking for a position as a mid or senior level marketing person, I can attest to the fact that the market is very challenging, and I could see how maybe the numbers were off, but 911,000 is extraordinary. So this is a big downgrade and raises new questions about the real strength of the labor market, and we just discussed that. I will try to get through these without making comment until I'm all the way through the announcement. And on Wall Street, banks borrow a record $18.5 billion from the Fed Reserve's repo facility. That's a clear sign that funding pressures are building up in the financial system. So money's not flowing like it should, ideally. We want to think of this like a credit crunch warning light starting to blink. So your check engine light starts coming on, right? So there's some serious things going on. In Oregon, here at home, nearly three quarters of Oregon is now considered abnormally dry or in drought. The Willamette Valley was hit especially hard, and experts warned that even a rainy fall won't erase risks for farmers, forests, or our next fire season. And on that front, we have more tough news. Mass layoffs are coming up across the state. Warning notices are piling in, and some economists say we're starting to see recession-level job losses in multiple sectors. And again, so that's, as a marketing person working with companies in tourism, that's really worrisome. Because if people aren't making money, they aren't going to wineries. They aren't, even locally, they aren't going out to eat. They, you know, there's been a significant decrease in the number of people enjoying themselves at that level. Locally, closer into Portland, the Little America Food Cart Pod, originally billed as a haven for BIPOC and LGBTQ cart owners, is now facing controversy. Several vendors say they're being forced out, while the pod is being rebranded for other business ventures. And I'm so sorry to hear this. This just came up on my radar the other day. I haven't had a time to look into it, but I hope that whole situation works out. There's got to be supporters here in the community that can help these cart owners find a new space if that's what's needed. And downtown foot traffic is up, the highest it's been since the pandemic. That's good news for some businesses, but recovery feels uneven depending on which streets and which shops you're talking to. So getting into the Charlie Kirk situation, I have my own personal views on this, but for now, we're going to talk about something that he said in 2023 that continues to come up. I am not by any stretch of the imagination celebrating the instance that took his life. That's, and the reason why I say that before I go into this story is my original, my jerk reaction, knee-jerk reaction was, oh my God, that's horrible. And I am no way a fan of this person. He said that he was banned from speaking on college campuses because of his hate speech, and that was a lie. Straight up, that was a lie. He was not banned from being on college campuses. One in particular, he was never even scheduled to appear, right? Like most people in a certain political view in this nation, it was a lie. It was made up. And he spoke very vividly, horribly about people in places. He lacked empathy. He just not a very nice person. But that doesn't mean that it's okay for him to be taken out, and not only taken out, but taken out in public while speaking his view. We live in the United States. The United States has a First Amendment protection of speech, whether we like it or not. No, we should not allow, nor should we accept hate speech ever at all in any format on any stage. But he still did not deserve to be taken out in public that way or at all for speaking his mind. And the reason I say that is because I've done public speaking in the past, not on a political level, on a marketing level, but if I was to go out there or be here, I'm speaking out publicly about my view of the world and how I see this nation being run. I don't condone hate speech, and I speak of peace and love, equality and equity. I don't want to be offed by some crazy person, right? Not to say that the person was crazy or whatever. I'm just saying I wouldn't want that for myself. I wouldn't want that for my friend. Why would I want that for somebody expressing their right? I'm not taking calls at this very moment. I'll open up the phone lines here in a couple minutes. I don't think it's right. That should not have happened. But so I am not celebrating it. But in 2023, conservative commentator Charlie Kirk said something that deserves repeating and unpacking. He said, quote, "I think it's worth it to have a cost of, unfortunately, some gun deaths every single year so that we can have the Second Amendment to protect our other rights." Okay, I have questions about that, and there's tons of parts to unpack about that. The Second Amendment doesn't protect our rights. The Constitution does. And those who vow to uphold the Constitution do. The Second Amendment is a right. It gives us the right to bear arms. It does not protect our rights, right? We don't, without the Second Amendment, we just couldn't have guns. And yeah, there's tyranny, but dude, really? 1% of our population is in the military. You are going to use your little, you know, armory of your own to go up against the U.S. military? I don't think so. That's not a thing. So if somebody decides that he's going to be a dictator and he's going to point, the only thing keeping him from actually enabling or actually mandating that the National Guard or the Army come after U.S. citizens is in our Constitution. The United States military is not by law allowed to go against our citizens. They are mandated to refuse an unlawful demand, an unlawful order. That is, and other people are like, oh, well, look at all of the yes men and stuff being put in place in the military and in the cabinet. That doesn't, they can't break the rules. They're not supposed to break the rules, right? At least we would hope. He breaks rules all the time, but at least we would hope he cannot do that. And as you saw in Chicago, and the governor of Illinois and the mayor of Chicago were both, I'm sorry, you're not doing that. We are not accepting it. So now he's going to Tennessee. Anyway, so that's getting off on something else. I always do that. So let's be clear what this means. In Kirk's view, children in classrooms, families at movies, neighbors in grocery stores, their lives are an acceptable cost for preserving the right to own virtually any kind of firearm. He also dismissed empathy as some kind of new age weakness. But empathy is actually what keeps us connected. It's what keeps us human. Without it, rights get stripped of responsibility and compassion. Fast forward to this month after Kirk himself died, Donald Trump praised him as an advocate for nonviolence and called for people to respond to his death peacefully. Now, on the surface, that's a message of calm, but it stands in stark contradiction to Kirk's own record, a man who openly tolerated violence as a political trade-off. This is the bigger story. Who counts and whose lives are discounted in the name of ideology? When we talk about rights, we must also talk about the lives sacrificed for them. And real quick before I open the phones, and I am going to open them up here in a minute, I want to address the Brian Kilmeade issue. So, and if that wasn't bad enough, this week we also heard from Fox and Friends host Brian Kilmeade saying homeless people with mental illness should be, and I'm quoting this, I'm not saying it, I'm quoting it, just kill them, right? He later walked that back and called it extremely callous. It's rude, it's offensive, and the fact that he walked it back was ridiculous. Here's the problem. Those words are out there now. And in a climate where violence against homeless people is already rising, remarks like this aren't just jokes. They're normalization and dehumanization. They give permission for people to act in certain ways against people whose, in many ways, it's not their choice to be there. It's their circumstance. And so you hate them for their circumstance? Help them fix it. So today, we see a pattern. Whether it's Kirk's dismissal of lives lost to gun violence or Kilmeade's flagrant call to just, quote unquote, just kill them, we're seeing how dangerous it becomes when empathy is written off and human beings are treated as expendable. We'll keep digging into this morning through phone calls, and I do want to hear from you at 503-231-8187. And let's have a talk about this. Ty is in the air room, and he is going to take your calls. Thank you, Ty. Be nice to him, and I would love to hear from you guys. Thank you to everybody who has donated. Again, if you want to become a KBOO member, please join our drive. There are a few ways, and I believe there might be a call, maybe. So you can donate one way by downloading the KBOO app. I'm telling you, this is a great opportunity for you to take KBOO wherever you go. Just on your tablet, on your phone. You can download it on your computer. We have Santiago. Good morning, Santiago.
Good morning.
I figured you might be calling into this. Awesome. Yeah. How are you?
I'm doing all right. You know, it's a beautiful Wednesday. Can't complain too much.
Right? It has been beautiful.
Yeah, nah. I kind of quote you know, Malcolm X, you know, he's his, one of my favorite sayings of his is like, I never feel bad when chickens come home to roost.
Right.
So, I mean, that's really what it is. I mean, you know, it's like, you know, because the thing is, the people keep crying free speech, but I mean, number one, the First Amendment only protects you from government intervening on your free speech. It doesn't protect you from the consequences of the speech that you give. And number two, like, I mean, how many people on the correct side of history have been murdered outright by either vigilantes or, for that matter, or for the government or from the government itself? I mean, Malcolm X, you know, Martin Luther King, Fred Hampton, you know.
Well, those are conspiracies, so many, but
I mean, no, those are not. They are conspiracies. They're conspiracies by the people who have power to keep people from organizing in a way that does not benefit private private ownership of capital. So in that way, it's a conspiracy. But in that's the only functional way. It's a conspiracy.
Right.
But number two, you know, the thing is that, like, you know, and I keep saying this, like, even if it, because, you know, they've been calling out that it's, you know, that this is leftist violence, which, I mean,
it's not.
No, it isn't, because you don't even, because they don't even have a, I mean, all they have is what's written on the bullets, which has a lot more linkings when you put it all together to, like, you know, kind of like the weird parts of the internet, the crap posters of the internet, kind of like weird, like dark fascist kind of stuff. But I mean, that's probably the closest they got, but it's not even confirmed. And number two, even if it was a, even if it was some leftist thing, like, the thing is that what a lot of people don't realize is, like, how much pressure, how much oppression and marginalization can you put on the most vulnerable in this country for so many decades before there could be, but, you know, without realizing there could be a potential for retaliation.
Well, where was all the outrage for Heather Heyer?
It was out there. People were outraged over Heather Heyer. People were outraged.
Not from
over
the right.
Lots of people.
Trump blew it off. Trump didn't say hardly anything about it, except, you know, and then the right was saying that she deserved it.
Well, yeah, because here's the thing. Like people look at it, they think morality is objective, but at the end of the day, morality is subjective, because morality is all about the actions we take towards a specific goal. So if your goal as a fascist is to stamp out any meaningful peaceful resistance, to be able to consolidate private capital into a tighter, more brutal power structure, and to eliminate any sort of semblance of, like, equity or equality, then obviously the death of Heather Heyer is moral for them, because that's what they want to do.
But now, they were calling for the death of Jewish people.
Oh, absolutely. But the thing is, like, yeah, I mean, of course they are. They're fascists. They want the death of Jewish people. If you're expecting sympathy or coherence from fascists, then you're, you know, I don't know what to tell you. History has proven, has shown that they are, they not only do they, not only are they subject to magical thinking, but, like, they are driven by nothing other than, like, a primal rage against a system that has functionally abandoned them. So the only reason why somebody like Trump, being the big loud buffoon that he is, can come in and rile up a bunch of people is because people are so far downtrodden, and the system has so sufficiently let them down over multiple decades that they truly believe that this man has the answer.
So, and we go back to once again in the Appalachian Mountains when Obama was working to try and expand infrastructure, and the coal mines were starting to get closed down because they were not meeting safety guidelines, and hundreds of men have died in the coal mines, and they were trying to work the trains running petroleum you know, in different directions. Well, that took, those two things took away a lot of jobs for people in the Appalachians, and Obama at the time was saying, well, we want to bring infrastructure in, we want, you know, you guys to have scaled up infrastructure in like Google there and other tech companies in the area.
Mm-hmm.
And the argument of the people, and I saw interviews and studies about this and read some paperwork about it, that the people who in those areas were so committed to the work that they did, and that was the only thing. I mean, you have generations of miners, right? That's all mm-hmm. they did. That's all they knew. They refused to be retrained. They were going to get all okay. kinds of schooling and retraining for free under the Obama yeah. administration, and they refused and turned around and said it was Obama's fault when they refused. So if they are being, if the infrastructure or if the overall society they believe has abandoned them, that's because they refused to adapt. It's their issue.
It's not about refusal to adapt. The point is that, I mean, the Appalachians have been abandoned for generations. And even and mind you, Obama ran on a very progressive campaign, but ultimately capitulated to the very forces that caused the miseration in the first place. He bailed out the banks instead of the people. He continued the bombing campaigns in Yemen. And in Yemen, he continues to send money to Israel to continue the genocide in Palestine.
Right.
Tom Homan, who's Trump's boy right now on the border, was Obama's boy on the border.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, Tom Homan was the reason why he was the porter in chief. The point is that even if Obama offered that, he clearly was not serious about it, because ultimately he went back on all the progressive stuff he ran on anyway. But the other point is that, like, even if they refuse to be trained, there's things that can be done. You can give them some sort of government pension. You can give them free health care. The thing is that, like, the functionally, the Democrats are not interested in those things.
In the Appalachians, they're right-leaning states that don't expand medical or federal aid. Give them money.
That's fine. But the point is that, like, even if we should be giving them that, because ultimately they have been, and it's not just the Appalachians. We're talking about the entire Rust Belt. That entire Rust Belt was a place where cars were being manufactured for generations. The point is that, like,
well, they sent jobs overseas starting in the Reagan era. People keep trying to point to Clinton, but it started under Reagan.
Oh, it started way before. I would say it started under Nixon. But the point is that, like, the reason why it was shipped over, the reason why they were shipped overseas is, number one, because of the invention of the jet engine, and number two, because of the supercomputer. Because these companies found out that they could manage a company from India just as easily.
Okay,
easy
so
they
you
make,
are pointing in the wrong
Indiana.
Direction, Santiago. I'm going to cut you off. You are pointing in the wrong direction. It is not the advancements in innovation. It is the greed of the corporate overlord to do that in the first place. The innovation is the excuse. The greed of the corporate overlord taking jobs away from Americans and shipping them overseas to save on their bottom line. That is not the innovation itself. The innovation itself is progress.
Same thing with AI. AI has the potential to alleviate us from doing menial tasks that allows to
the use of AI does
creative
yes.
and spending time. Yes, the use of AI. But yes. the point is that who has access to the technology fundamentally? The ruling class. And so what they will do
exactly.
is they will use it to exploit the workers the same way they use
exactly.
the supercomputer, the same way use the jet engine.
However, you can't point to the supercomputer and it says, because of you, I am out of a job. That is inaccurate.
No.
You can't point to AI and say AI is going to take your job, because that is inaccurate. The embracing of that technology to supplement or overtake an employee's responsibility is the finger needs to be pointed where it belongs.
Exactly. And the finger needs to be pointed at the fact that our government has fundamentally stamped out any sort of workers' organization since the end of World War II. If we had real opposition in this country to the corporate state that is clearly not coming from Democrats or Republicans, we would have people saying that this technology is not your enemy. It can be used to benefit workers if we get rid of the people who have the money. If we get rid of the people who are stealing your jobs. But the thing is that, like, we keep thinking that if we vote for the Democrats, that or we're showed that we only have two options, and that if we vote for the Democrats, it's better than the Republicans. But they're fundamentally selling us out, just the way Clinton did towards the end with NAFTA. It started with Taft-Hartley. It continued under Reagan with the movement of jobs overseas, and then the final knife in the neck came from Clinton with NAFTA.
Yeah.
And
the Republican Congress.
Well, it doesn't matter. If it's Republican or Democrat, they're all owned by all these corporate businesses that donate to them. That's why Clinton was such a huge change, because he was the one who fundamentally led the Democrats in the final analysis to the corporate feeding trough. They've been kind of on and off about it. His explanation was that who are they going to vote for? The Republicans?
In 2010 was when the Supreme Court ruled that corporations were allowed to give politicians and initiatives unlimited amount of funding. Before that, the wealthy have always had the most votes in the country. They were not allowed to give unlimited funds during the Clinton administration, nor Bush.
But the thing is that even if that's true, all that's doing is eliminating the middleman, because corporations have been in control since the founding of this country.
Yes.
We're going to a place where they no longer feel the need to justify what they're doing. And so what we have to do is we have to organize an actual labor party. Because if we want to reach Republicans in a meaningful way, we have to tell them that the Republicans are pitting the workers against you, and the Democrats are not doing anything functionally to solve that.
Well, and that's a
and
fact.
And we need people who aren't tied to corporate money, which all of these parties are.
What about the Working People's Party?
The Working People's Party is a appendage of the Democratic Party. I'm talking like a workers' party, like Shama Sawan out in Seattle, you know, where she openly ran as a socialist on socialist platforms and was ultimately elected mayor.
Right.
That's what I'm talking about. Because we can't the Democratic Party, at the end of the day, they are the bullhorn for corporations. That's why they're trying.
Well, they're the left of right. They're left of right. They aren't progressive. They're just left of right.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying, is that like we need to have parties that are dedicated to the working class and that understand that working class issues aren't just here in the States. The working class issues extend to the genocide in Palestine, because if you have politicians who are willing to send weapons to continue killing women and children, how much do you think they're going to stand up for your democracy?
Right.
Not at all. Like they're doing right now. I mean, liberals have been almost some of the biggest names in the Democratic Party have been fundamentally silent since Trump has been in office. People who were calling him a fascist outright are now completely silent. So we need people who are going to be loud about the fact that it's not, I mean, Trump isn't just one person. He's in power by a whole bunch of people, and a whole bunch of people on supposedly the red and blue team. They're all working together because they're all fundamentally have the same people signing their paychecks. So we need to start organizing people in the direction of an actual labor party that runs on socialist principles, that fundamentally only advocates for the working class, and to take the money from the people who have power and to actually distribute it, not just tax them, which we could in the beginning, but to actually expropriate the wealth, because that wealth belongs to the people who work for them, not to the people who put it in bank accounts.
Okay, Santiago, I need to let you go. I think you. Okay. Thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate your views. Hi, Tangent.
Hey, Sherry. I'm going to go off speaker.
I must have missed. I didn't see I had somebody else on. Thank you for waiting. I apologize. So what are your views today?
To respond to our brother Santiago's list, I would add Rachel Corrie, and I've done a little parody of a Simon and Garfunkel song. It goes, I'll be brief, but it says, "And I wish that I could be as brave as Rachel Corrie."
Yeah.
It's a song called Richard Corrie, and he's a rich man, okay, and the guy works for him, but Richard Corrie blows his brains out.
Oh, dear.
Oh, yeah, you never heard it? Yeah,
no.
It's old Simon and Garfunkel from the 60s.
I'll have to listen to it. Thank you for bringing that up.
To get to point, and I want to do this real quick, but you were mentioning Charlie Easter, and I wouldn't use the word taken out. That's a military term. I would say he was murdered. He was assassinated. But I wanted to get to...
Isn't assassinated different from being murdered? Like, murder is premeditated, which is fine, but assassin is a political term. Is it not?
But in French, anybody who murders anybody is an assassin. But I'm not going to get into that.
Oh,
right,
that's
now.
Interesting.
But can I just say the thing I wanted to... I forgot on Monday with Cecil. But so Israel is the UN's Frankenstein.
Yeah.
They created it, but they can't control it.
Yep. Well, I thought Netanyahu was out there, and then he came back.
This report, well, it's like about 15 months too late, don't you think? I think most of us from the very beginning saw what it was, is. So I just want to put those things out there. I don't want to dwell too much on it, because you brought up Charlie Kirk. And the one thing I want to point out first is that flags were flown at half-mast.
Yes,
that is usually done for statesmen, presidents,
yes.
governors, senators,
yes.
and such.
Heroes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Maybe generals, yes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. No, they instantly elevated him.
That's it's just wrong.
But, okay.
That's
now,
so wrong.
Now, the other thing is, you mentioned, hang on, what was it?
Brian Kilmeade was the other story I was
talking
good.
About. Thank you. God, we're telepathic today. Yes, you know how he said this outlandish thing, and then he walked it back. And it's the same
and
as
it's
like
supposed
Trump.
To be okay.
He says this outrageous thing, and then he comes back halfway, but he just got half of an outrageous thing, okay? And as you mentioned, those words are extremely powerful.
Yeah.
I've been saying, like, people like Rush Limbaugh have been crying fire in a crowded theater. Over the airwaves for decades.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I won't say like him because I don't, but as him or similar to him. So response, that's most of what I had.
That's incredible. Thank you for calling. I really appreciate it. You bring up
sure
some
enough.
Good points.
Okay.
And I need to go look.
Brother Santiago, he mentioned a couple weeks ago that we should be learning how to use firearms. I cannot indulge this because, first of all, we're never going to win, as you mentioned earlier. And the thing is that we're never going to get to this place of heart if we still believe in guns as a solution. And
they
look at this. Now, there's a talk about open carry in Utah or something, right? You mentioned going back to the 50s. They want us to go back to the 1850s.
Yeah.
If everybody has a gun, well, it'll be a great safe society.
Yeah, apparently there's also a move now with the tradwife thing where the men are trying to straight up control the way their wives live, right? Like it was pre-1970s where they can't have a bank account, they can't have their own possessions and stuff like that.
Sure. Hey, here's a couple things for words. There's a couple words that go. One's malevolent, it's called, but that's malevolent, okay? You can pronounce it. And volent is like volunteer. It's what you choose to do. And then there's another one. Hang on. It's malediction, it's called, but it's male diction, and that's patriarchal speak, okay?
Oh, dear.
So that's just for fun, but there's hundreds of them. I leave you in peace and joy for everybody who still believes in these beautiful ideas.
Thanks,
Love is the most intelligent way. Peace on earth.
Thanks, sir. Have a great day. We have another caller. Do we know who it is? I missed the name. Cronus? Crocus. Hello? Uh-oh, went away? Uh-oh. Well, we lost him, it looks like. You can call in if you wish at 503-231-8187. I'm here for probably another 15 minutes, maybe. Oh, so, I'm sorry, 10 minutes. The microphone's in the way. In the meantime, while I'm waiting for people to call, you are more than welcome to join our fall fundraising membership drive. We are working to raise $45,000, and we need your help to do that. We are so close. I had it up here on my screen and it went away, but you can text KBOO244321 to donate. There are several other options. I want to thank David for his donation just a few minutes ago. It's time that we stand up and speak out. That's why the fundraising fall membership drive is KBOO Out Loud, because the public media that we care about and listen to and participate in is under attack. For the first time since the CPB's creation, Congress voted to rescind over $8 or $9 billion of funding for OPB grants, or for CPB grants previously approved for funding local public media stations. And shortly after that, we learned that the CPB will shut down at the end of September. So these funds are super needed. Now, I thought they were going to have a skeleton crew through December, but effectively they're shut down at the end of September. For years, KBOO has received between 6 and 11% of its funding from CPB grants. This means KBOO has about $110,000 that we relied on for next year that's missing. And so we'll be doing a lot of membership drives and other ways to raise funds. This is a very pointed international and direct attack on independent media and an effort to silence media outlets that speak out against the administration. These cuts support the spread of anti-intellectualism and state-funded propaganda by taking resources from public media and bolstering privately owned corporate media outlets that support the administration's right-wing agendas. Silencing public media is a tactic historically employed by fascist regimes and authoritarian governments to control information, suppress dissent, and solidify power. Censoring opposing viewpoints, controlling information, and pushing state-sponsored media and propaganda are tools to suppress critical thinking, informed public disclosure, and shape public opinion. Right now, KBOO needs your support more than ever. If you believe in independent media, fighting fascism, and true freedom of speech, donate today. So that is off the donate page, and I felt that needed some air because I was reading it and I thought, wow, that is so powerful. And I wanted to share it with you and tell you thank you so much for helping to support KBOO for 56 years. We have a phone call. I'll probably only take one or two more phone calls before it's our time to say goodbye for today. Joe? Oh, Jill. Hey,
good
Jill.
Good morning.
Hi.
It's Bill. It's Bill.
Oh, hi, Bill. Hi, Bill.
Okay, that's fine. I wanted to speak to the failure of the two-party system.
Okay.
What I really find fascinating is that we have a two-party system, and at some point, each side of this party has served the people who are often crying about being the victims of progress. So if it was the Democratic Party in the South, it's currently the Republican Party. But there's always this cry by some who argue that as progress happens and our society starts to open up, that's when we start to see this voice kind of come out where empathy isn't the goal, it's to destroy everything. And I don't care if we're talking about the attack on the Native Americans. I don't care if we talk about the attack on women during the women's suffrage movement. At every point, there seems to be this switch that comes on. And now everyone who's saying government is failing them are often the people who benefited from exclusivity. And now they're upset that women are included or black people are included.
Yep.
And I think this is the importance of needing other political parties.
Mm-hmm.
Because currently in a tight political system, it's a winner-take-all environment now.
Huh.
And I would just like to see third parties, fourth parties, fifth parties. Because when we give our power away blindly, we're not guaranteed to get anything back.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Very insightful comments. I appreciate that. Art is on the line.
Yeah, hi there.
Hi, Art. How's your day?
I'm fine getting started. But I, at one time, I was becoming sort of a repeat caller. And so I haven't called for years. And I wanted to tell you today, it's the first time I've listened in on Wednesday, and I want to commend you for being a good speaker.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Art. And I'm honored that you chose this time to call after a long time not.
My issue is that I lead with environment.
Oh.
Uh-huh. So that's, I'm not really on topic today, but...
That's okay.
Wow. I guess mainly I wanted to commend you for your talent at being able to speak.
What about the environment are you concerned with at the moment? There are so many things.
Oh, well, mine is transportation. I've been a part of planning Portland's light rail since the 90s.
Thank you.
Streetcar and buses. So it's a whole can of worms that... I involve myself in and go to public meetings and try to make a point in 2 minutes, which is impossible. The last time I went to one, I got laughed out of the room. Ha ha! My viewpoint was rejected entirely.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, I think I did okay over the years using cable as a voice, a way to express myself. But, I see the electric car alone is not a solution to our problems of menacing traffic and the costs that go along with it and the kind of quality of life we establish for society at large, and not just in the United States, around the world. We're dependent upon travel and transport of our essential commodities, and there's no fixing it. We have to learn to live with less.
Do you think that part of the solution could be corporate leadership being more proactive about their employees working remotely?
Don't get me started.
I'm all for that. They're control freaks if they want everybody who does not have to be on site all the time. And we have networks. We have a hardwired internet. We have Wi-Fi. We can work anywhere in the world. We can tap into any intranet we have credentials to do. So why won't they let us work remotely?
I don't disagree with you, but the problem is how we structure communities all together.
Okay.
And so when we're influencing communication at long, have long distances, that doesn't solve the problem of how much energy it takes to conduct an economy or travel, transport. So anyway, I'll let you go. Thanks for taking my call.
I sure appreciate you calling in. Thank you, Art. Carol?
Hi.
Hi, Carol. Is that your name?
It's actually Carla.
Carla,
I know
hi.
You're running out of time, but I wanted to just share with you some things that have been happening. It's really an important time now for everyone in higher ed to lean into organizing as much as possible. On September 8th at Willamette University, where I work, the student organizations that were tabling for new students found out that Turning Point USA was on campus.
Oh.
And this was disclosed by students in my class while we were studying gender studies.
Okay.
And 2 days later, there was the shooting. And the administration at Willamette is pretty much worthless. They're not doing things to protect students at all. They've come out and said to students, we cannot guarantee your safety on our campus. We're across the street from the state legislature, and last week, three Democratic legislators received bomb threats.
Yes, I know.
So people really need to lean in right now to the people that are trying to maintain some level of critical thought and democracy at our institutions of higher education. And I just hope this topic is raised more often outside of Portland State.
I have to say thank you, Carla. Carla, I have to say thank you. Ty is saying we need to leave. Ty, thank you. Carla, thank you. Thank you to all the listeners. I hope you have a fabulous day. Carla, I really, really appreciate you calling in.
Greatest application is in broadcasting mass entertainment. Probably one of the best ways to get started is to make it a hobby and build an amateur station. It will show you more quickly than anything else whether or not you can succeed in radio.
KBOO